Hey, hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul. I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him. Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward. This is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him. Beach balls and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution when only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Solid ground where we land. Say it's no use, the culture was out of hand. But now out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days for the sunshine. Any good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot go with it. Keep it a beat, so the plot don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa reindeer. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we paste better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Yes, sir. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on Sirius XM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
And it's your girl Dice Gamble checking in. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us so early in the morning, as Focus says. Early.
Thank you for waking up with us.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the day that the Lord has made. We mm-hmm. will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I know y'all be like, why he always said it? Because you need y'all to get in a better spirit. Mm-hmm. I know y'all be getting all the sleep out your eye. You know, you're brushing your teeth right now. I get it. But get in the mode to get ready to go out and be great today, kings and queens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just try to hype y'all up. Wake up with us early in the morning. Know that God woke you up. He still got a plan and a mm-hmm. call for your life. Mm-hmm. So I need you to get up and be great today, kings and queens. Remember, you're an ambassador for Christ. So remember, you got that cross, whether it's on the left or the right, don't matter where you want to put it. You got to carry that cross every day.
Carry that cross.
Yeah, like your Lord and Savior did. Yeah, I promise you. He carried that cross for us, and I'm so grateful.
Me too.
I can't wait to get to heaven. I promise
you. Come on
you.
Now.
I told my wife, I said, I'm really excited.
I know.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. I want to live as long as you want me to live, Lord. Now, I ain't saying take me early.
Right.
Make sure it's in your will. You took me when you were supposed to take me.
Right.
And I'm going to do everything I can do in the natural to make sure I last as long as possible. Let's be very clear. But yes, I am looking forward to, like, I want to see some of the disciples. I want to see my grandma and them. Yeah. I want to see what it's like. I want to see heaven. I know it's like they use the rainbow for the wrong reason, but I believe it's going to be every color.
It's our rainbow.
Everything up there.
It's our rainbow. What do we
Yeah, I know.
About?
I know, but yeah. It's still June. So, you know, we got to, you know, the elephant in the room.
I think the elephant in the room is it's everybody's rainbow. And if y'all keep playing games with me, I'm going to make a song about it. It's everybody's rainbow. So, ain't nobody out here making no rainbow but God. So we all should be hailing. This should be 30 days of us praising the Lord if we want to get into it. But anyways.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we're going to get into it because we understand what it is. We understand that a lot of people are celebrating Pride Month this month.
God bless them.
Yeah, we praying for y'all. We don't agree with you, but we're not, you know, once again, we're not discriminating against you and mm-hmm. we're not disrespectful to you. We're not looking to run up on you and fight and all this stuff. No. That's not what we're into. That's mm-hmm. not God's love, but we do agree from a biblical standpoint that what you're choosing to do, we just feel like it's sinful nature, and anything that's a sinful nature is wrong. No different than, like, I keep telling people, I am continuing to address my gluttony issue. See, that's why I share my real. So don't think when I say things that I'm not holding myself accountable to as well. So absolutely, I fall short some days, but I get back up and I'm going to keep striving. But I would never tell nobody it's okay to be overweight. It's okay to be obese. No, that's not what you should do.
What is that? You like sweets, but you don't like them all the time. But when you like them, you eat them till you don't feel good, and then you don't eat them no more.
Who do that? This?
I do that.
Oh, you do that?
I don't like sweets. Let me just be honest. I love cake, but I don't eat cake every day. Oh. It has to be like, it's only a, And here's the deal. Y'all can just DM me or put it below a post. This is a side note. I don't even know how we segued all the way over here. But I like sweets, and then I'll eat them till I'm tired, and then I don't even want to see them ever again in my life. And I don't know what that is.
I don't
but
either.
Because I ain't got that.
I wish I had that. I ain't got that. I like them. If I could have a 12-pack abs and Buff Dex biceps, Reese cups, Skittles, gummy bears, cake, cookies, ooh, in the pie. Listen, I would be going to the store every other day asking my wife.
I'm glad you said
a peach cobbler.
A peach cobbler.
You know what I'm saying? No.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. If I could eat it, I would. No. I probably would eat sweets more than I would eat real food. That's how much I enjoy sweets. Yeah, so no, I don't have those issues you have. No. Once again, you tuned into The Fix. And of course, our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. Y'all see, we crazy this morning. Pray for us. We trying to just get y'all up Wednesday morning. Listen, we got an exclusive spiritual detox today. When I tell y'all, we going to get a super young soldier for Christ on the line. He is a professional football player. He plays for the Cleveland Browns. Shouts out to my Brownies. He is the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get Daylen Baldwin on. And I promise you, I don't think y'all ready for this faith journey. The man is sold out for Jesus, and he's in the business of letting everybody know that I'm sold out.
Y'all right. Don't know about that. I'm sold out. Y'all had to be in church like 30 years ago.
They don't know
ago.
About Hezekiah Walker. No, we got issues. We got some issues now.
Gotta clap quick. No, Day, I'm excited about this interview. I'll just leave it like that.
Yeah.
I'll leave it like that. And y'all stay out of his DMs. Let the man just love Jesus and play ball. Like, please leave that man alone.
Please leave him alone. Oh, since you're talking about DMs, it's only right. We might as well hop into a conversation for the real talk then.
Okay.
We're going to talk about, you know, these people in these DMs with these OnlyFans pages and all this stuff. I don't know what's going on. Dice, why OnlyFans is just taking over the world and all this. It's just a lot.
I got an OnlyFans page. We talked about this. Ain't no naked pictures on there, though. If you go over there, you see like crosses and Jesus and salvation prayers. And I did it on purpose.
You probably in the 1% of what's on. I ain't been there. Let's be very clear. Nope, focus ain't been there, and I ain't going. So So if y'all on OnlyFans and y'all still sinning, go to Dice page and let me know if she's sinning, so I know how to.
I'm not sinning.
Pull it to the side. I couldn't even fact check it because I ain't even going there.
Check it. They'll be like, "Oh Lord, she got on all her clothes. Oh my goodness, get off the platform. Please get off the platform."
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about it. OnlyFans page. We're gonna talk about it. We got Daylen Baldwin. Listen, we got a ton of new music. Yeah. Let's get into it. We got new Derek Minor on the way. New No Big Deal on the way, featuring John Key, featuring 1K Few. Listen, we got a little bit of everything going. We got Angie Rose on the way too as well. But right now, come on, let's get up. Let's go with let's go ahead and go with a little bit of that Scooty Wop. With that crosswalk. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry right here on SiriusXM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. And y'all know what time it is. It's time for our spiritual detox. And Dice, we got a special one today. You know how I am about my sports, and you know how I am about my teams. Don't play games.
I'm not.
I'm born and raised. Let's be very clear. Everybody who don't know me, let me just reintroduce myself. I'm born and raised Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. I'm all about our teams. Don't talk about my Brownies. Don't talk about my Cavs. Don't talk about my Guardians. And leave OHIO out the way. I promise you, put some respect on that. I'm excited. We get a chance to talk about faith in sports today. Mm-hmm. And listen, I feel a certain way
because
he played on the team that I got some issues with. But we're gonna talk about that. I love him still though. In Jesus' name, I promise you, I still love him. But we still got to talk about this whole why he chose to go to up there.
Right.
I can't even say it. No, I ain't gonna start the day off that way. But listen, I'm excited to welcome in. Listen, a super talented former Michigan standout and now Cleveland Browns player, Daylen Baldwin. What's going on, bro?
How you doing today?
Man, I'm good, man. I appreciate you coming through, kicking it with us this morning.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, man.
How you been, man? Welcome to Cleveland, man.
I appreciate it. I've been here.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's going to be a year in August.
Yep.
Yep. I got here like midway through training camp. I came in off a workout.
So speak to that dynamic, though, just being an undrafted free agent and being able to sign. Like, because a lot of people who may not know, you still get an opportunity if you don't get drafted. Speak to that
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Really is about staying patient. That whole process is pretty tough because everybody obviously want to get drafted, but it ain't enough spots. It ain't no spots on the team. And it's really about what you do when you get there. For me, my coach actually came to me about 3 weeks after I was there. I was doing really well. He was like, Daly, you was only supposed to be here for a week. You weren't supposed to be here for long. You know what I'm saying? And for me, that was like, I'm an implement guy right now. Like, I prayed over my plays. I prayed every day before practice. I prayed every night. Like, and when I was remembering my plays, I didn't mess up. I didn't have an MA, like a missed assignment, until about week 8 into the season. So it was just God just playing through me, honestly. Like, people don't understand that. Like, it's not me. So it was definitely a tough process, but I'm happy I stayed on the team. I was on practice squad most of the year last year. Got one game active against the Ravens. I had number 17. Now I got 87 now. So it's been going well.
That's awesome. Listen, you're talking about foundation and prayer and all these things. Where did that come from? Like, who taught you that?
So, man, I went to church a little bit as a kid. My mom is a Jehovah's Witness. So I went to the Kingdom Hall a little bit as a kid. Nothing too crazy. I was in there asleep. Like, I wasn't in there paying attention. I'm going to be honest with you. So when I got to college around my freshman year, my coach, Ron Dickerson Jr., who was like my spiritual mentor to this day, he kind of was spoon feeding me just a little bit at a time, not really forcing on me, but just saying like, hey, yo, turn to the Bible. Like, all right, cool. I didn't really pay too much attention to it. Sophomore year at Morgan State, I'm not doing as well as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I was there, but I wasn't doing well for real. And that was my only one Division I offer. So wow. That's where I went. So I followed him down to Jackson State. He was my receiver coach. He went down there to be the OC. And I couldn't play the first season there because I had to sit out because I transferred. And this before the transfer rule came through. And I got depressed. And he was like, all right. I literally came to God. I said, look, if you real, I need you to show me right now because I ain't got too much more left. Like, that was literally the conversation that I had with him. Mm-hmm. And from there on out, he just slowly but surely showed me that he real. Showed me that he's like, he's here with me. He's been with me this entire time, honestly. And shortly after, he kind of let me know that I was going to go to the NFL. Even though I didn't have the stats that everybody else got. Like, in all honesty, my college stats in total probably was like one season of somebody else's college stats. Mm-hmm. So it was just took a lot of faith, and I understood like what he was doing in my life. And I just kind of let him really take control. Ups and downs between that time, but yeah. I really let him truly take control of my life.
Listen, thanks for sharing that. That's super dope. Yeah. I do want to go back, though. You know, speak a little bit more to the mental health part of it, because I heard you say you were depressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we talk about mental health all the time on the show. Like, what did you really do? So, like, outside of the spiritual element, did you seek therapy?
Nah, I ain't even seek no therapy. Okay. That Bible was my therapy. That was like the healing that I needed for real. And it was, it's funny because it was contradicting. But I also... The main things, like, I tell people who are going through depression, stay out your room, be around people. Mm-hmm. During a Bible study, I will always go out on the plaza, I sit and read a book, which I was able to observe a lot and just really be quiet and be patient, for real, but being in my room didn't help at all because you're closing yourself in, you're leaving yourself in this environment. If I was in my room, I was playing a game, I was asleep. That was the only time I was really in my room. I tried to stay in my room as much as possible. But for me, man, I just kept praying. I got really close to God, man. Like, every day, I got closer and closer to God, and that's what helped me. And a lot of people do this when they're down. They get close to God. When they up, they kind of fade away from Him. So that's what I did when I was doing good in football. I kind of fade away a little bit. And not as far as me watching my sermons and doing certain things, but just listening to the commandments, doing things that I know I shouldn't have been doing. You know what I'm saying? So that was a big thing.
That's good. That's good. No, I appreciate you sharing that. A lot of people need to hear that message about depression. I mean, when you're talking about fame and you're talking about playing any type of game, everybody just thinks you're on a high all the time. So thank you.
Man.
Thank you for being transparent.
It's definitely not that.
Yeah. So how did you end up in Michigan? You know, you at Jackson State. How did you end up in Michigan?
So when I was at Jackson State, I kind of had some disagreements with the coaching staff. I don't talk too much about it. I didn't like how they treated the guys that was there with me because there was a new staff that came in when I was the staff Deion Sanders had.
Right.
Like, he had came in after. I didn't like the way he was treating the guys that was there already. And I'm a big person on if somebody show you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I knew I wasn't going to stay there after that season was over with. Mm-hmm. Or honestly, before the season even ended, I got in a transfer portal and my name blew up. And the biggest thing that Michigan actually told me was, well, out of everybody in the transfer portal, you didn't have anything bad about you. Mm-hmm. Out of everybody, like, you treated everybody well. Nobody had anything bad to say. Random, like, I'm like, dang, that's crazy. Like, but also, I do treat people well. Like, I don't disrespect people. You know what I'm saying? And no matter what they do to me, I don't disrespect people. Mm-hmm. So they had offered me, when I say Ohio State had offered me first. I went to Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan in a 3-day span. So I went from being at HBCU to seeing three of the biggest college stadiums in a 3-day span. So that was a blessing.
And what happened Ohio State that you did?
I worked out there. I was wearing everything, but I was being real with myself, and I couldn't go from being a star player to not playing. Mm-hmm. And they had, and I'm gonna be honest with you, there's no way you're moving around your three top draft picks, and they got another one coming up. Mm-hmm. It's no way you're gonna tell me, honestly, you about to tell me I'm gonna get the ball. And it was just,
That's fair.
Yeah.
I had to measure that in.
It's okay. Focus.
It took, like I said, it would have took a lot for me because, in all honesty, that's my dream school. Mm. Like, it was a business decision to go to Michigan. And also, I prayed to God. I'm like, look, I don't want to chase no stats or nothing, because I could have went to a Kent State, a MAC school, mm-hmm. cut up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Had 2,000 yard receiving, something crazy. You know. Mm-hmm. So, for me, I was like, take me to a place is gonna make me the best version of me and make me the best football player I could be.
Wow, that's good.
When that's when I like sat down and really thought about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go to Michigan. And honestly, didn't turn out how I wanted it at all, but I knew it built me for something else, and it allowed me to really attest to my faith. And I remember this specific thing to where I had to speak on my faith and speak on, like, what happened. It was a freshman who was starting above me that game, my boy Andre Anthony. He at Oklahoma now. He came to me, he was like, hey, Dale Daylon, like, do you feel like dude's gonna feel a certain way that I'm starting and stuff like that? I'm like, look, first of all, don't ask nobody else that question, because they gonna hate on you 9 times out of 10. That's what people do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, bro, God told me my junior year when I was at Jack State, he told me I was gonna go to the league. Bro, you good, just go ball. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that was probably one of the first times I really spoke on my faith and really believed everything that I said. Mm-hmm. And I held on to that promise, and he delivered.
Listen, and stay right there. We're going to come back to that. That's good, because we got to talk a little bit more about Jackson State. Listen, mm-hmm. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, you tapped into The Fix right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154. We got to go to a quick break. We're coming right back with more from Daylon Baldwin. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Culture!
Progress music.
Do it for the culture.
Empowering conversations. Holy Culture Radio.
Welcome back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tapping into The Fix right here on Sirius XM Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. Listen, we still got Cleveland Browns wide receiver Daylon Baldwin kicking it with us. So, Daylon, we got to talk about it, man. Talk about the dynamic of going to Jackson State, being around Deion Sanders, because I know you were around him for a little bit, right? So, mm-hmm. like, I think a lot of people, you know, we see what we see on Instagram and what's posted, but mm-hmm. what was that environment and that culture like, really, like, being in that locker room with Deion and him being so inspirational? Okay. Yeah, let's go then. Come on.
Wait a minute.
No, keep it up
on
this.
Nah, it got his goods and his bads to it. It was some things that I did like, some things I didn't like. It obviously was like, all right, you got one of the greatest football players. You have the greatest football player ever.
Come on.
In all honesty, he revolutionized the sport for having that swag, you know what I'm saying? Playing that, being yourself, mm-hmm. and really balling.
Yeah.
So
dance running. Let's be very clear. Who can high step 15 yards and you can't catch him?
He's the greatest. He's one of the greatest ever, man. And it was definitely a crazy having around. It was probably, well, we probably had that spring. I played that spring season, so it was probably like 6-7 games. Probably it took me about game 4, game 5 to understand, okay, he really my coach. It's cool. Like, but you would just walk past the locker room, you just see him, you stare like, bro, that's really Deion Sanders. He really coaching me, bro. Like, it's crazy. Right. So it was definitely like a starstruck moment of understanding, like, oh, that's really him, you know? And that was the up part of it. He was also fixing things around when I was there, which I didn't really get to experience everything fixed already. He was fixing a lot of things, make sure we was eating in the right spots, making sure the dorm was treating us right, making sure we had places to stay. He was trying to fix a lot of stuff. But in all honesty, I didn't reap the benefits of it, and like, I didn't get the best treatment out of it either. So I didn't like how I'm being treated, bro, matters to me. I don't care. Like, you could say, oh, you better appreciate what you got. What? You tripping. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't believe in that, because we should, as humans, we should hold ourselves to a higher value, to a higher standard of things. So when I was leaving, they was basically telling me they want to like partial my scholarship, like when I was there. That's what really made me leave. I'm like, man, y'all crazy. Y'all looking at me crazy. I just gave y'all my best season that I had in college football ever.
Wow.
In six games, I had like 5 30 and 7 touchdowns. So like, I'm balling. I'm like, what you mean? And I didn't like that. And I'm like, look, bro, I don't stand for, like, I stand on my word. I stand on my business. My mama not paying for school, and I'm not paying for school. You tripping. I'm out of here. And I went to go get whatever offer that I wanted. And a lot of the offers didn't even come through because I committed to Michigan so fast. But Utah had called me. Auburn had called me, which is my bad.
Okay.
Every school I think of had called me. But like any other coach, he treated some of his players better than the others, like, in all honesty. I didn't like that. And like I said, you show me who you are, I'm going to believe you. And that's generally what it was. But I had a great time there, understanding that some people did appreciate the little things that he did, understand, and just appreciate him coming there. You know what I'm saying? But I had a bigger dream for myself. I had a bigger journey for myself. I also feel like it's some guys who ended up leaving Jackson State who never got an opportunity to play. Again, some guys that he kind of kicked off the team, never got another opportunity to play again. And I don't like that. That hurt me, because some of those guys' only offers was Jackson State. But you bring 5 4 stars guys in here who got opportunities to go to other schools already, bro. They at other schools, or they at bigger schools, or they're going to bigger schools. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some guys' only offer is going to be Jackson State, and I feel for those guys because I'm one of those guys. You get what I'm saying? I'm the back end guy. I'm the guy one division will offer, kind of came in off a workout, you know?
Yeah.
And you got all these guys. You bringing all the front runners in. To me personally, and don't get me wrong, some of those guys are my homeboys to this day. Yeah. I still mess with them, but I don't like the way he did it, you know? The way that he portrayed to, I'm gonna get HBCU guys a chance. Well, you just bring a bunch of 5 stars and 4 stars here. That's all you did. You didn't get the HBCU guys a chance. And I didn't like that personally. So it's all, I just want anybody to know who hearing this, it's personal. It's not about what he did and what he's doing for HBCU, because he did a lot and he's done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally did not like it. That's my piece on it.
Did you get a chance to talk to him before you leave? Or have you had an opportunity to, you know, just talk? Because I feel like you speak passionate, and I feel like you need some closure on that. Maybe I'm hearing it different, but...
Yeah. I ain't get to speak to him. I ain't need no closure on it. Nothing. Good. I'm fine. I know where I stand. I know where I'm supposed to be, and I know where God led me to. And I had to sit down and really pray on it. I was mentally, like, I was in a mental bind, because a lot of people around me were saying, you should stay. A lot of people around me saying, you know, you should leave because they're trying to do this. Like, everybody like, well, you running, blah, blah, blah. What I'm running from? You tripping. I hold myself to a higher standard than you. That's the only thing you don't understand. So I had to really understand it's my life, and everybody can put their 2 cents in, but I had to understand, and I had to go my journey, you know, and I'm here now. So it worked out for the best.
Yeah, it did. I'm just in awe, because everybody doesn't have that drive. Everybody doesn't have that separation to say, okay, yeah, I got a superstar coach. You know, I know I could stay here. I could do A, B, and C, but this is not where I should be. I feel it on the inside. Everybody doesn't have that. And I know you got a lot of pushback, like you just said, from your family and friends. Like, how did you deal with that? Like, how did you share with them the same thing you just shared with us? Like,
I looked them in the eyes. I told them what God told me. If you got anything to say about that, keep it pushing. I'm good. I don't need to hear your 2 cents. I'm telling you what God told me to do. It was funny. So my mom is my biggest supporter, but she's like my fact checker. So she gonna question me to make sure I'm really standing on what I believe. You get what I'm saying?
Shout out to all the moms.
Come on,
I
just want to say. Happy
shout out to my moms.
Once again, everybody's mom.
For real, though.
Don't worry.
Yeah, and it was like... I was actually waiting to get the call from Cleveland, and I had XFL, CFL, I had a whole bunch of other opportunities, USFL, and I'm like, they were coming, they were going, I'm like, and they were just weren't working out, and I'm like, yo, mom, I'm supposed to be patient right now. Like, I'm like, she also seeing me mentally messed up, not being able to practice, and it's camp starting for the NFL, and I'm hurting, like, you know what I'm saying, like, mental breakdowns, everything, and she like, no, but a mom's, this is what I had to understand. A mom's instincts is to save her child. So get her out of this, get him out of this immediately, and get him somewhere to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, like, God put you in a storm. Like, no, sometimes you got to sit in there.
Yeah.
You can't just up and leave. No, sometimes you got to sit in there. I sat in there and I waited. Cleveland called, told my mom and dad, I'm like, I'm not coming back. I'm telling y'all right there, I'm not coming back. It's over with. I'm gone and I'm gonna be here for the rest of the season. Wow. So they had to bring my clothes down there a couple months later after camp ended.
That's awesome.
You know, you speak so powerful about your faith, and I thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, have you gotten any kickback from that for being so bold about speaking about your faith? I know you in locker rooms, I know you're around, you know, a little bit of everybody. Have you ever gotten any kickback saying, you know, why do you speak so boldly about your faith so much?
No, not any kickback, honestly, but it's been like moments where it'd be like, well, they just don't believe in what I believe. But when you really like look at the Bible, it's certain people who do get kickback, but it's certain people who don't get no kickback, and people believe exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
Being around, I got a couple other guys in my locker room as well who believe in God, who believe in Jesus, and it definitely helps having guys like that around who really read the Bible. So I have a conversation with them. I'm learning a lot because a lot of them are older than me.
Yeah.
So I'm really like being patient, like, oh dang, all right, cool. Like I'm learning these different things. I'm like, this is interesting. But I never really got any kickback for the most part. I kind of been helping God people ever since I the last podcast that I had, I dropped a little snippet of that. And a lot of people been coming to me asking like to help me mentor them and stuff like that. So that's been the biggest blessing for real. Like I just been talking about, like after I leave practice, I pretty much talk about God all day. We're just talking about different verses, different like what God can do for you in your life, like whatever it may be. That's been the biggest blessing. I haven't got too much kickback, honestly, though.
So you said something on the podcast. I got to bring it back up because we talk about relationships all the time on here.
Yeah.
So I got to bring it back up. So, you know, for you, when was that moment where you felt like, okay, there was a certain standard of woman that you choose to date? Like, how do you go about courting and dating? Talk about the process a little bit.
Well, right now I'm in a season of singleness. So, like, I've been understanding for a long time. I was always talking to somebody. I was dealing with somebody.
If y'all don't hit this man, catch up. The man said, listen, I'm single and I'm good.
And I'm good.
Stay where you're at, Jazzy. Stay where you're at, Jazzy.
Oh, man. No, but I was in and out of a lot of relationships, never really healing, just jumping from one girl to the next, doing whatever I really wanted for a long time. And I never understood that I really need to be single and be on my own. And I really just came to that realization over really the last couple months. Just really left the relationship that I was in, dealing with, and like, from there on, I'm like, look, I know I need to be single. So I'm really just enjoying that, understanding who I am and understanding. And don't get me wrong, I have a great understanding of who I am, but it's really about that relationship with God. So I've been like focused on that, and that's been my relationship. So it's another thing that happened after that podcast had dropped. My DMs was going crazy.
Yeah, I know they
DMs
was.
Going crazy,
I
right?
They was.
So like, it's funny because that never happens unless I'm in a relationship. Then I had really dawned on. I'm like, I'm in a relationship with God. That's why this happening.
Nice.
Like, this never really happens unless I'm in a relationship with a woman. Mm. That's the only time my DMs look like that. And it was just funny because I'm like, I'm really in a relationship with God, and we really locked in on this thing, you know. So that's been the biggest thing. But when I came to that realization of understanding that I needed a different woman is when I understand that I was different.
Mm.
I'm not like everybody else. Like, I'm not the normal dude. I can't do the normal things that people do. I can't go out and party all the time. I can't do that. I don't feel right.
Yeah.
People say like, well, why don't you go out like that? Honestly, and I don't know how many people gonna believe this, but in the room full of people, I feel lonely when I'm in clubs.
Wow.
I feel lonely. Like I know I'm not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
It don't feel right
yeah.
to be there,
yeah.
honestly. And even if it does feel right to be there, I know I'm not about to be there for long.
There
I'm there to support somebody, and I'm ahead the other way. But I don't feel right just being in there, being in the club, just chilling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so let's talk about this season. What can we expect? You know, getting ready. I know your guys are just, you know, in training camp and getting things together shortly here and there. Mm-hmm. What can we expect from the Cleveland Browns this year?
Man, we come to championship, man. I feel like
I
feel like we really got that. Like,
okay.
We got a good team. We got good chemistry building. Chemistry building immaculate right now. Like, that's the biggest thing I'm seeing. Like, as a team, we together. It's not spread out and not a whole bunch of individuals, but as a team, we just truly together, which I don't think we had that last year.
Mm.
Not in all honesty, I don't think we really truly had that. And then Deshaun coming back, like,
yeah.
we added some
full
pieces.
Full season this year.
Full
Let's
season.
Go.
We added some pieces at receiver. Man, we on to do something here. I ain't gonna lie. We added some guys who got Super Bowl championship experience as well. Juan Thornhill, one of our linebackers too. I think he came from. He was at LA, then he was at Houston, I think, or vice versa. So one of our linebackers too. But I think we added some championship experience in there. I think we got something going for real. I'm gonna be honest.
What's that one game you looking forward to? If your name is called to, you know, get in, what do you got a already like a rival team that you looking forward to play against?
Nah, I'm just gonna hit it like I hit it as it goes. So
okay,
I'm trying to make active roster right now. Me personally,
so okay.
I'm looking at preseason. I got Hall of Fame game. Ain't nobody gonna be here. Ain't nobody else gonna be playing. It's gonna be us on that field. And I know I got to show out. So I'm looking at them preseason games more than anything. I go against my boy. One of my boys, Nick Whiteside, he played for Washington. He a corner.
Okay.
He a corner. So that's childhood. That's childhood.
Did you text him already? Tell him it's over. Tell him it's over.
We've been talking about it.
When I see you.
Yeah, we've been talking about good jersey swap, all that. But I definitely got to see him. And just really balling out those preseason games and making sure the team see my value and understand that I belong here and I need to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the biggest thing I'm on right now.
What's that one inspiration you can give to a player who's, you know, young, maybe 10, 12 years old, aspiring to be where you are? Like, what's that one advice piece you would give them?
It's a lot. It's a lot I could say. The biggest thing I say is work hard. It says plain as day in the Bible, hard workers are rich, lazy are poor.
Mm.
Work hard. Work hard at what you do. Give your faith to God, and don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. When I was around a lot of people who told me I can't do it. Coming up through Little League, you can't catch. They put me at tackle. I couldn't catch Little League. I played O-line my first 8 years of football.
You serious?
I play O-line. I know how to block for real.
That's called a coach. Call the coach.
Yeah, so I get to my high school. It's like, we think you should be DB. I get to my second high school. One of my coaches talked bad about me to another college coach. That happened too. Some of my teammates around me in high school told me I ain't good. They told me I made it farther than all of them. Mm. So it's been that. And I'm still cool with them. With some of them to this day. I didn't need them to see the vision. I'm not mad at them for not seeing the vision.
There we go.
But just understand, like, yeah, you told me I couldn't do it. I did it better than you.
Mm. What would you have told yourself 10 years ago?
Believe in God. I wasn't there. If I could have had this one, I would have been all right.
You slowed the process down.
Yeah, could have slowed that process all the way down. Could have been a lot smoother, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Actually, I knew it would have been a lot smoother with him.
Wow.
That's the biggest thing. Because all the things I had been through as a kid, I could just be like, all right, mm-hmm. God is in control. He's doing this for a reason. Whatever. Now I got to figure it out. Now that's my approach to everything. Whenever God doing something, any little minute thing, even if I'm sitting in traffic for too long and I know I'm about to get frustrated,
mm-hmm.
why is God doing this? All right, we're working on patience right now. Just relax.
My man got it figured out, man, at a young age, man. We appreciate you coming through, rocking with us this morning.
Yeah.
Tell the people how they can connect with you, follow you on all your social media platforms. Do you have any other, anything else you tied to, any nonprofit or anything else you want to shout out? You writing a book?
Nah, I ain't doing any of that.
Okay.
Not yet anyway, man.
Okay.
I'm going to slowly but surely get down the road. The biggest thing is that another thing about being a hard worker, like I was listening to Chris Broussard and I was talking to him, and we was talking, you have to be a hard worker to glorify God, because you won't be able to if you're not. So nobody questions LeBron James if he talks about God. Nobody questions Steph Curry if he talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
But if the dude on the end of the bench start talking about God and they tell him not to and he don't, they cutting him. That's blatantly what it is. So Chris Broussard spoke out about God on they were talking about LGBTQ thing, and he was like, look, I don't believe in any form of fornication. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I respect that. But he also, this is what happened. He left where he was at. He got paid more. He got a better show. He got a better segment. And that's something for me. It's like, he spoke firm on his faith. No, he didn't get the result that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up getting something even better.
Wow.
And that's a huge thing for me, because I'm like, you seeing that in the flesh. And I've seen him at a conference down in Dallas, and I got to meet with him. He's a great guy. So it's like things like that, to where you just stand on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, that's good. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because we're all for, we're not for like disrespecting anybody or
not
any type of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
But we do believe, to your point, we can agree to disagree. And if I have a different opinion on it, that doesn't mean I'm disrespectful to you or discriminating against you. So
mm-hmm.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. Listen, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. We got to go to a quick break. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio. Healing, hope, and how-tos.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio. It's time for our Real Talk conversation. And Dice, we what we got going today?
Ooh, child. Well, honestly, focus. I had never seen this article that you just happened to bring to my attention about this lady who believes that God has kind of instructed her to be on OnlyFans. Oh, Lord. And she earns $1.8 million a year stripping on OnlyFans, and she believes this is what God wants her to do. She's a Christian woman from Colorado. Nita Marie, 45. She's 45 years old, and she has made $1.8 million a year. So, I mean, this is tough. This is a tough one for me, because here's the thing. You can't say what God has told somebody to do or not do. The only thing you can say is what we believe in God's word. The instruction is about holiness, modesty, you know, not allowing others to fall into temptation or trip them up. So there are a few red flags here straight out the gate of what's going on. I mean, I don't know. We were just having a little conversation off air, focus, and you made a comment about not believing that singles should be involved in something like this. And my comment was, we couldn't finish it because we was like, nah, let's just get into it. My question is, what are singles doing while they're being single?
You're talking about far as sexually?
Yeah, like what are they doing?
Nothing. The Bible is clear that you were supposed to stay a virgin. And I know, listen, let's be very clear. I did not do that either. Let's be very clear. I had sex before marriage. I had a baby out of wedlock. But let's be very clear. I was out of God's will from what I believe from a biblical standpoint. I'm not telling anybody to do and follow my tracks. No, everybody I talk to, especially when we talk about young, young teens and then even young adults, I'm telling them, keep yourself. You don't want to get these soul ties that I had to not only go to grief recovery for, but also pray off of me. Let's be very clear. Because when you sit down and you have sex, soul ties are exchanged every single time. So when you talk about your body count, all them different soul ties are in you. And I don't believe that God wanted it to be that way. I really believe that God wanted for husband and wife to enjoy themselves for the first time at the honeymoon. Let's be very clear from an old biblical standpoint. Certain fathers used to charge more to the fiance if their daughter was a virgin. Yeah, that means her stake was higher when they had they had the festivals and everything, you know, because you remember back in those times they had festivals. No, it was like a whole week celebration of these two coming together. So, like, why do we have those principles in the Bible that we look past to just do what we – I feel like sometimes we're just doing what we want to do. That's why I say, I don't know. How does God say something like that to keep yourself, remain a virgin until you become married because of all this? But then we flip it and say, no, what are singles supposed to do? Listen, absolutely. You're supposed to stay holy. And when it get cold at night, I don't know. Because let's be very clear. I didn't have a good relationship with God to understand it. Me and my wife talk about it. And we're saying this wholeheartedly. If we knew what we knew now, back when we were 16, 17, 18, we both said we would have kept ourselves. No, you call me lame. Yep, I'm the lame virgin. I'm keeping myself for my wife because I understand what God has called me to. But no, a lot of us, that's not our experience. When you talk about how we see, how we were taught scripture, how we were taught how to grow that relationship with God. So, but I think we have to continue to keep it consistent with preaching what the Bible says, not what we think our feelings should tell people. So maybe that's why I'm just confused with her saying God told her to be promiscuous. Because let's be very clear, it ain't just OnlyFans, and people can say what they want. I would love to look at those stats. Majority of the people who have these OnlyFans are doing other things outside of just in front of that camera too, as well, for money. Because now you out there, now you got celebrities, athletes, artists, entertainers reaching out to you. oh, you hot on that. Drake says it all the time in his songs, how he meet girls on OnlyFans and fly them out and have one night stands with them. So now you doing more than just, you know, in the camera. No, you doing more than just that. So I don't know. You're right. It's a slippery slope, but I just feel like, no, male or female too. I'm not bashing women. Men too. Men got OnlyFans pages. Men are doing these different things. Yes. Men can be prostitutes too as well. I know we don't talk about it enough, but man, you perverting yourself too as well. You supposed to be keeping yourself. You ain't supposed to be having all these women you sleeping with. You a hoe too.
But they're not sleeping with nobody. So, this is tough.
Yeah.
The only reason why I say this is tough is you have a group of individuals. Okay, fine. We know. Okay, God doesn't want you to have sex until marriage. This is very evident and clear. And for those of you who have done the research, there is a blood covenant that happened on the cross between Christ and us. And there's always going to be a blood covering. You know, that is why God created a hymen. There is a covering that happens during the first time you have sex. If you have not had sex before, and this is the anointing part. God designed it this way. So no, you should not be out here just sleeping with 55 people before you get married. That's not how he set this thing up. Fast forward to 2023. That's not the mentality anymore. Not even in church. It's unfortunate. It's not taught. It's not preached. You and I both know nobody is putting down the hammer on that one. No pun intended. They're not talking about this.
I can't stand you.
I'm just saying. Like, nobody's driving that home. And the only reason why I say that is over the past 5 years, I have been in different circles of youth groups, youth leaders, churches worldwide. And it always gets like the conversations get really awkward with the youth. And then typically there's always going to be like this statement that's thrown out there, well, whatever you do, don't fall into sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically giving that room, that wiggle room for a person to express their sexuality or explore their sexuality without going to sleep with somebody. That that's a whole vibe nowadays. Like, I'm not making this up. And everybody knows that.
No, it is.
But that's why I'm like, so when you have situations like this where people are online and they have their little accounts and things like that, some people probably do feel like they're not doing anything wrong because they're not sleeping with people. You know, they are not doing anything but being who they are in the moment, which is very, very free.
Wait a minute. You called it very, very free. Very, very free, huh? Oh my goodness.
They're being very, very free. They're making money as they're sharing themselves. They feel very confident about their body. So they're not afraid of, but guess what? They're not out here, at a stadium, you know, sleeping with all the people that lined up. They're just like, look, if you think I'm cute and this is making money and taking care of my bills, I'm not doing anything wrong. You're partaking of this. You came here. You came to visit my site. I didn't come to your site. So it's kind of like, I could see how a person could say, well, this is taking care of my family. Because here's the thing. Let me give you the stats. I'm not saying it's right. For those of you like, oh, it ain't right.
Before you throw the stats out, let me just throw this one scripture out at you. What you're saying. No, I got it. Yeah, listen, because I promise you, it ain't me. Because let's be very clear. You talking to somebody who came up sleeping around, very promiscuous, and very much paying in them strip clubs. Okay. So you're talking to somebody who was delivered from this. Let's be very clear when you talk about sexual immortality. So yeah, I'm just going to throw out that 1 Corinthians 6:13. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one or the other. The body is not meant for sexual immortality. And if you entice people, you need to hold yourself accountable because God is not pleased with you enticing people. So absolutely right. They not physically sleeping with people. But let's be very clear. I don't know nobody who look at porn. And if you not either having sex with a person, you masturbating. Let's keep it 100. This ain't watching a comedy movie. You don't go on OnlyFans act like you watching an action flick. You go to OnlyFans when you go to these specific pages because you're horny. Let's be very clear. You're horny and you want to get your fix. Let's be very clear. Yeah, yeah. So you're getting off. So whether you got your toys and you're watching them, because yeah, it's all type of stuff. You absolutely. I had these conversations with people too as well. Yeah, they got toy parties where they're trying out different sex toys and they're watching OnlyFans and they're watching all these pornos and they're trying out these sex toys. So so once again, it goes back to, I don't see how God told you to have these sexual fantasy orgies outside of the bedroom. He's very clear in the bedroom. It's undefiable. Have your fun. I want y'all to have fun. I want y'all to procreate and make babies. Because that's the other thing too as well. That's why we got so many baby daddies and baby mamas from OnlyFans and all this sexual porn and stuff, because everybody's sleeping around and we ain't got nobody in the households where the union is together. The man and the female is at home raising them kids. So go ahead. What's your stats? Go ahead with your stats.
Well, I was going to go over some of the top earners on OnlyFans. Obviously, we know Blac Chyna, who is now Angela. She's gotten off of there. She was $20 million. Bella Thorne, $11 million. Cardi B, $10 million. Tigga, $7 million. You can, like you said, there are some gentlemen on here as well.
Oh, yeah.
We already know we got Erica Mena, $5 million. Pia Mia, $3 million. Safari, $2 million. Like, people are making money just being cute. You know,
I would wonder, they probably don't have the stat on how many of them are actually giving out something substance outside of sex. Right. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to see that stat.
Yeah, because everybody's not on here. Like, some people are just, to your point, some people are being who they are, like in the entertainment world, like a model, like they're models. So they're already kind of like running around half naked. So them switching to OnlyFans is nothing new, you know. Cardi B, you know, I mean, come on, what are we talking about? Yeah, it just makes sense that she would have a OnlyFans account. You know what I mean? And it's not like and there's only so much she's gonna be on there doing, but just the fact she's got a fan base, they're gonna come over there to see a little extra, you know, behind or whatever. And so it's a different. Some people are on here for different reasons, and like you said, there are some people on here who are being encouraging as well. Not a lot of them, but. The majority of them, we all know this is a sexual site, but I hate OnlyFans, but I like the idea of OnlyFans versus the sex trade. So in America, there's this huge, because, let me be honest with you. And this is like where you kind of like, it's like a pick your poison type of thing, because OnlyFans is taking money away from a lot of different governments who do ship humans across the world, and they do it even as we speak. They're being kidnapped, raped, and murdered and thrown into the water. So for me,
facts,
I'm like, yeah, have an OnlyFans account and be at home and not out here on these streets trying to, you know, you're gonna end up getting killed. So
do you think that's the same though? I just want to ask, do you think it's the same? And when I say the same, I don't know, you know, that's why we got to pull some stats up, see if we can pull those up. I would argue when you talk about the sex trade, you're absolutely right. But I would argue a lot of those kids or adults are snatched. It's not like they're doing it because if they want to, they've been snatched. We know a lot of them, they hook them on drugs and they force them, like you say, to do those videos or, you know, unfortunately be used. So that's almost like rape, you know, that's almost like kidnap, rape. And, you know, cooking me on drugs and forcing me to do this compared to, you know, these people on OnlyFans, they're choosing to do this. Like, no one's holding a gun in your head. Nobody snatched you and took you to Russia or some other country. You see what I'm saying?
But a lot of the women, and this is something, and one day I want to have one of my good girlfriends on here because she made it out of this sex trade industry. A lot of those people are already in environments that are promiscuous. So they're going to parties, they're escorts, they're working in strip clubs, they're in groups with their girls, they get, and then so they had already put themselves, you know, in a position to kind of be taken advantage of. So when they get, somebody shoots them up with heroin and drags them off and they're missing for a week, nobody's looking for them, you know? So I'm just saying, like, and I want to say this to say here, the porn industry generates more income than the combined revenues of ABC, NBC, CBS, the NFL, the NBA, and the NBL. And they generate between $15 billion to $97 billion a year. So when you talk about an industry that's making $97 billion a year, then you have OnlyFans comes around and they are officially now snatching $12.5 billion to $15 billion a year out of that bucket. So this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying they're either one of these are good, but what I'm saying is when you tell a person who doesn't mind giving themselves away, you're like, hey, why don't you just get professional, go get your camera and the light and then set up a PayPal, you know, or whatever it is, and do it that way for your safety. It's different. It's different. And it's changing the game. So I'm not here for either one of them, but I can see the safety aspect in having OnlyFans versus you out here on the street trying to go out with your girls at night to get $2,500 from just showing up at a party. So there's a safety aspect of it. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right, but I get it. And then even for the singles focus, like I was asking you, like, what are they doing to keep themselves? Cause here's the thing. Some people, they are, and you said it before, you were ignorant, you and your wife. Y'all were young. You didn't know any better. So you have a lot of young, ignorant, myself included, you know, who just didn't know. But it's like, instead of going out of the house and sleeping with 50 people, they'll go on here and watch somebody on the thing. Like, so I'm like, that's why I said, what are the singles doing? Like, it's only going to be one of two things, you know, either you're going to go find somebody to cuff or boo them up and bring them home for a one night stand, or you become a fan. You know what I'm saying? Like it's that's what I said. It's a,
or you can wait. You can wait on God.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's okay to stand on the principle, but we don't do it enough. So that's why we got OnlyFans.
Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. As you see, this conversation been off the chain today. We got to go pay some bills. We'll be right back with closing thoughts. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yep, and we back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. Just coming off a music set. And, it's been real, Dice, but I don't know. That conversations today was off the hook. I think they done tweeted everybody. They didn't shout it out everybody. We didn't have our little bro, Daylon Ball, went on here from the Cleveland Browns, and he said a lot of stuff straight.
He said what he had to say.
Yeah, he said
what he had to say. He was not playing any games, pulling no punches. I'm here. I'm playing ball. I'm trusting God. Next question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, okay. No, it's real.
Next question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he spoke about his mom, you know, growing up being a Jehovah Witness, and he kind of went over that practice until he got away to high school a little bit, going into college, and then that's when he started to be discipled by one of his coaches, and that's when he said he really found, like, Jesus Christ for himself, a real relationship for himself, and shouts out to him too as well. My man played at Jackson State with when the legendary Deion Sanders was there, and
come on now.
You know, I'm praying for some closure. I know he said he don't need no closure, but I feel like it needs to be a conversation had between him and Deion at some point, because when a player feels that way, like, come on.
But he ain't the only one, and everybody knows. So let's be honest. Growing up, we were like, first of all, Deion is like the Denzel Washington of football. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing to talk about, you know, but there's always been a rumor about his attitude. There's always been a rumor about his arrogance. Let's be honest. There's always been a rumor about some of the choices he's made. And he's been vocal on different platforms about this as well. But there also been like many, many positive video that was put out concerning what he was doing. So it's like, I would like to have him on the show to kind of hear his perspective on some of the choices he's made and why he's made those, just to get clarity. Not that he owes anybody anything, but it would be nice for him to come on here and say, okay, yeah, there's probably been a little bit of a misunderstanding, but hey, this is why I did A, B, and C. So yeah, no, I love that people can voice their opinions. And like you said all the time, folks, we can agree to disagree. But yeah, no, it's good stuff. It was a great interview and day. I'm really proud of him, especially as a young man, and just being focused on the Lord and saying, no, be where you are, not just where you see superstars, not just where you see money, like be where you know God is leading you. And a lot of young athletes don't have that. They don't have that. It's just like trying to go where they think that, you know, this is the money bag. This is the bag. It's like, don't go where the bag is. Go where God is leading you. That's where the bag will be.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Absolutely. Definitely go. And definitely trust God. If you say you call yourself a believer, you got to make sure you got God in the mix, because you can get caught up in so much, especially they put everything in front of them. There's nothing, no drug, no woman, no man. Let's be very clear that they can't access at any given time. So you got to be prayed up. You got to have a real relationship with God. And I think to your point, when you talk about, Deion, saying some of those things in some of those interviews, and we definitely, Deion Sanders, if you listen, we definitely want to talk with you. Come through. I think there should be a balance in between that, because I know it's a lot for him too as well. He has a lot to live up to. One, to your point, he is pretty much like the Michael Jordan of football. Like, that's the first, if they don't say it off the you might say a quarterback name in front of him, but after that, you're going to probably say his name. He's arguably probably the GOAT of football. Let's be very clear. How he played defense and was able to shut down wide receivers and run back punt returns. He was dancing, running. It was effortless. So. But we definitely want to talk to him one day. We definitely going to reach out and see if we get him on the fix. Listen, that's it for us for the day. We got to get out of here. Tap in tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday. Stop playing. Our brother from H-Town going to stop by tomorrow, Corey Paul. You ain't going to want to miss this one. We're going to get Corey Paul on the line. He got new music he working on. And when I tell you, he can tell you about the culture, about the journey. Y'all going to want to hear this conversation. So hop in tomorrow. And Dice, it's Thirsty Thursday. So I know y'all thirsting for the Lord's righteousness. So she got another topic for you. Keep it locked for that. Hey, go out and be great today, kings and queens. As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.
What did he say? I missed that. Did you hear something you need to hear in full? Not a problem. Get the podcast and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Holyculture.net/podcast.